Okay, but you have another number, or you're going to have, okay, the same.
Man, I'm unbelievable update for you.
Okay. Say that. Just say that. Wow. This is so good, Heaven. But you don't get this when you're learning a Perek HaVav. You dafka because it's over. I mean, you cover a lot of ground. You take it out.
Well, yes, it's
yeah, and that was a great thing. Sure. That's it. That's the answer. The only reason why you double up portions is to make that happen. If that's happening anyway, like now, by midrash it was happening anyway. So there was no need to join up by Yaakov Pekudei,
right,
even though we would have been aligned with the Holy Land. That's not why you do it.
The first 30 seconds.
Of course, perfect it's timing.
My midterm thing.
Yes, I could. I need a pen.
Yeah,
you have a pen, Yaakov. Perfect. Good morning, guys. I'm already. Because when it doesn't work, it takes a few minutes to get it to work.
Yeah.
Rather let them have to edit it out.
Good morning, everybody.
Yaakov, you got it, yeah? Oh, that's it. 5:45. Good morning. With the help of Hashem, we are learning today's three Prakim Rambam. We are learning the series of Hilchos Tefillah uBirchos Kohanim. We're going to be learning chapters 14, 15, and we're going to start Hilchos Tefillin uMezuzah veSefer Torah Perek Aleph. Before we begin, just to point out that in many Rambams, being that the 14th and the 15th chapter are dinim about duchening, this chapter is going to be the general rules of duchening. Duchening means a platform, and since Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash would go on a platform, actually, many are medayik and the Rambam, there were two locations, perhaps according to some approaches, in the Beis Hamikdash from where Kohanim would duchen from, give the blessing, so we call it duchening. But what's very interesting is that many people have as a header for Perek Arba Asav, Hilchos Nesias Kapayim. And that's a problem because the header that we had in the beginning of the series was Hilchos Tefillah uBirchos Kohanim. Birchos Kohanim means the bracha of the Kohen. Nesias Kapayim means the outstretching or the lifting of the hands, which is a position that the Kohanim get in when they give the blessing. The question is, which one did the Rambam write? That's a question that Rebbe spoke about, and he never came to a definitive conclusion. It's really about which Girsa is the correct Girsa. We're starting with the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter, like we mentioned, deals with the basic rules of Birchos Kohanim, Nesias Kapayim, or Duchening. They are all referring to the mitzvah that Kohanim have to bless the people. We're going to have 14 halachas in the Spedek. It's not as big as the Torah we had yesterday. And let us start with halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam, by Shachris, at Musaf, and when there is in the Ilah, Kohanim noisim eskapayim. Abo, during Mincha, si ein nesias kapayim. There isn't nesias kapayim. Why? Since people eat after Shachris, prior to Mincha, people already ate for Shemosh Asu Kohanim Yayim. It's possible that they had wine. And a shiker is not allowed to do nesias kapayim. He cannot give his bracha while he's intoxicated. Now, furthermore, even if there is a fast day, and on a fast day, no one eats, so you don't have a chashash that a kohen is under the influence. Nevertheless, we don't duchen by mincha. Don't jump. I know that we say elikein v'elikav. We say no. The Rambam will speak about it soon. So kohen won't actually duchen. Gezeda minchas tainis mepnei minchas kol hayu. Not to differentiate. 1 second. We're in the middle now. Says Harav halacha beis. But man, what am I more than that? What that there is no. Let's use the word nesias kapayim. Nesias kapayim means Yaakov, the lift, the stretching out or the lifting up of the hands by Mincha, that's only on a fast day where you both daven Mincha and you daven the Ilam. Like, for example, Tzom Kippur, or Tainus Sibur, Avola Tainus, other fast days in which there is no Ni'ila prayer, like Tisha B'Av, Shivas, Abatamas, etc. So, Ho Yolutfilas, Mincha Sholem, Somach Lushkia Sachama, Mincha's right prior to Shkia Sachama. Guys, it's not because the Rambam wants people to daven Mincha, either Mincha Gedoyel or Mincha Ketan, not because of that. It's because when you have Ni'ila, since Ni'ila should be davened right before Shkia Sachama, as the Rambam wrote before, so you're going to have to daven Mincha prior to that. Whenever you don't have Ne'ila, then you could daven Mincha all the way up until Shkia. So since Mincha is being davened all the way heading near his Kine'ila, looks like Ne'ila, and now we'll add, during the week that Amma wanted people to daven Mincha way earlier. So it doesn't look like Mincha. On a fast day in which there is no Ne'ila, yes, the Kohanim actually duchen during Mincha. Now, Yaakov will see in a moment the differences between Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz will share the Ramah and our minig of Ashkenazim, not the Duchen, only if it is Yom Tov and the substitution that the Shliach Tzibur says in the place of. We'll get to all that. First, we're going, the Ramah goes through the big picture. Now, the Koyin Sha'avar V'Allah L'Duchen B'Mincha Shaliyah Makipurim, which there is Ne'ila, which we make this Takon, the Loi Plug, not the Duchen. So hoyil v'hadavar yidua, Yom Kippur, that people don't get drunk, people are not eating or drinking, and the chanami lechatchila because of leiplug, you should not have done it. So there is a concept. This is a big picture concept that once the coin goes on the platform, now in many shuls like my yos, first of all, many shuls will actually have a platform in front of the hechel. But even if not, you know, they bench Dafke all the way here in Mizrachvant, as we'll see soon, because only people that are on their sides or in front of them are included in the bracha. People that are behind them are not included in the bracha. So you don't want the coin to be in the middle of the shul. So once he gets into that position from where he duchens, then you don't tell him to go down, meaning he actually gives Birchas Kehanim. Mepnei HaChashad, because we are afraid that if people will see the coin went up, and then the coin went down, what might people think? Ah, they found out that he's not a kosher coin. A kosher coin would mean, just for example, that if his father, a coin, married a woman who a coin cannot marry, like a divorcee, then he's called a chalon and he taka can't do him. Because of that, they keep him up and the whole call gets birchas kohanim. Halachi yimo. Guys, we're coming back to many details in a moment. But first, again, the big question, what is Nesias Kapayim Bigvulin in contrast to Nesias Kapayim in the Beis HaMikdash? The words Bigvulin means in the boundaries. It means in every place outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Rambam, Be'ei she'yagia shliach tzibur la'avoid. Avoid means Ritzei. At that moment, when he says the words Ritzei, that's the latest. Kol ha'koyanim ho'imdim. The Beis HaKnesses, all the kohanim that are present, ne'ekodim mimekoyimim, they have to uproot themselves. It means they have to leave their place. And they go up to the duchen. Now the Rambam is not saying that they don't wash their hands. All he's not going into certain pratim. He's going into they go from their place, whatever they need to do to get to the duchen. When they get to the platform, by us, it's pashut. There's no duchen yet here. So what you do is, no platform, they go in front of the Aron Kodesh. But when they get there, when they get there, they don't right away get into the position that they will be in when they bless the people. When they bless the people, they face the people. Here, they're still going to face the hechel. And therefore, va'achoyrem klapi ha'am. Their backs are towards the people. The etzbo oiseim kufufis, and their fingers are still closed. L'toich kapeim, inside or against their palms. In other words, they don't have to extend their fingers, as we'll speak out in a moment. They stay in that position. Ad sheyashlum shliach tzibur ha'hoida'a. How does Hoida end? Baruch Ato Hashem, Hatoiv, Shimcha, Ulocha, Noa Lohaitis. Once you come to that point, then Umarzidim, Penem, Klapi, Yom, they turn around towards the people. Ufoishden, Etzbo, Oiseim, they extend their fingers. Now the Rambam doesn't go into the various Minhagim, that Amar Koyen, but you know generally that the Koyanim, they put two fingers together, and then they put the two hands together, and there's whole types of traditions of how they extend their fingers. And now, chevre, we're learning not inside the Beis HaMikdash. This is outside the Beis HaMikdash. Umagbiyam yideyam keneged kisveim. They lift up their hands on the same height of their shoulders. Shoulder height. And umaschilin yivarechacha. Now again, wait, there's going to be a bracha. There's going to be a prayer that they say prior to the bracha. There's going to be a lot that I'm again. He goes into the general, then he goes into details. We will see in a moment. Now let me say like this. Let me just speak out. The Kesef Mishnah holds there's a big machlokes here, and it has to do with the girsa of the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah holds that even though you have a what we call a makre, someone telling the kohanim or the kohen what word to say, there is no makri for the word yivarecha, and that's his medayik from over here. That they begin Yivarecha. Now, there are many who argue with the Kesef Mishnah, Bishita so Rambam, because the Rambam is not going into all the details. But for example, the Rambam didn't speak about the bracha that they make. The Rambam didn't speak about a makre yet. But anyways, the Kesef Mishnah holds that the word Yivarecha is the only word that the Kohanim say on their own when they finish the bracha, they say Yivarecha. Now, Shliach Tzibur now, Shliach Tzibur makri oisa mila bila. There's a shliach tzibur that's going to lead them, say a word to which they respond word by word. Shenemar as it says, Omoir lohem, which means one of the many meanings, ad sheyoymer. In other words, the kohanim don't bless until someone is telling them what to bless. So they have to be told what to say at that moment. Ooh, now, kishem ashlumim pasuk kishem, when they finish the first pasuk, like v'yishmerecha, what happens, Yaakov? Amen. And then, v'choizesh liyach tzibur, u'makri yoysim pasuk sheni. Right, yor Hashem, but yor, Hashem, mila, mila. And v'hein, the koyhanim respond to, achim ashlim in pasuk sheni, until they finish the second pasuk, v'ichul nekla. And then, not when the makri is mashlim, but when the koyhanim are mashlim, everyone answers, amen. And v'hein, the pasuk shlish. Halach and dalo. Once they finish all three, shalom, then maskel shliach tzibur bracha achreino, the shliach tzibur begins the final bracha, sheisim shalom. During that time, the koyhanim do not leave the duchan, but they change their position. And during sim shalom, v'koyvtzim etzba oiseim, they close their fingers. They don't have to stay in that position with their fingers extended. And v'oimtim sham baduchan atche yigmar ha-bracha, bracha meaning sim shalom, and after the shliach tzibur says am baruch es am Yisrael ba shalom, then the chayzer lemekayman. Now halacha hey ein hamakre rishoy lahakreis lekayhanim or likleis koyhanim achi yichlo amen mepiyat tzibur. This is really where the real Kesef Mishnah that we spoke of before belongs. Let's read it the way the shliach tzibur, the way the Kesef Mishnah reads it. He reads the words that ein hamakre rishoy likleis koyhanim. When do we say koyhanim? So guys, I know that many people have different minhagim. So after the shliach tzibur says, hatoiv shimcha lochon lohoidois, if you have two koyhanim or more, then the shliach tzibur will say koyhanim, as Sfardim do right now. But the shliach tzibur is not allowed to call out koyhanim until the people answered amen for the bracha of hatoiv shimcha lochon lohoidois. Ad sheyich lo amen mepi hatzibur. That's how the Kesef Mishnah learns it. Now, there's other opinions that they say, no, that Rambam is saying that they didn't have the girsa, likrois koyhanim. Ein hamakre reshoi to call out to the kohanim, like yivarechacha, until people answer amen to the bracha that's given by the kohanim. But that's anyway, we're going to go with the Kesef Mishnah. Now, ein hakohanim reshoim lahaskel bebracha. So everyone, in other words, they are hatoiv shimcha lochon elohaitis. Then everyone says amen. Then the makre calls out koyhanim. Now they give a bracha. A koyin makes a bracha. The koyin can only begin the bracha. Right, levarach es ami. Right, to give a bracha to the yidden. Ba'ahava at sheyich la'dibur b'piyah makre. What's the dibur? Koyhanim. Very good. Ve'ein atzibur oinim amen. At sheyich la'bracha b'piyah koyhanim. Now, even though this is true by all amens, there's an amen chatufa. Don't chap the amen. Don't say it too early. Amen yisayma. Here the Rambam is specifying that we have to wait. Everyone should wait until the other party did their part. At the end of each of the three brachas, guys, bagvulin, we'll see in the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't that way. After each bracha, everyone says amen. The shliach tzibur should not say amen. He might get confused, not knowing which bracha he's up to. Don't forget, they had no siddur. if he's up to the second pasuk or the third pasuk. So therefore, your only job is you be mindful what word you're up to. Even now, tell a shliach tzibur, point in the siddur. My yosar minig is by the shofar. We point, we don't announce, but stay, know exactly what you're up to. You have the word Hashem, which bracha, stay there. Halacha vav. Ein ha-koyanim v'shoyim l'hachsim p'neim in ha-tzibur. Yeah, we said that, but during the Sim Shalom, they remain on the Duchen, but they face the Heichal. They can only turn around, not when people say Amen. When the Shlitzimur begins, Sim Shalom. They can only leave that platform or the front of the Shul. They can only close their fingers, which is extended in a special way during the Bracha. Only after they turn away. That's the Seder. Turn to the Heichal at the end and they close your fingers. Now, the right Girsa is Umitakonis Rabban Yoichanan Ben Zakkai. There's no debate about this because that's the Girsa we have in our Gemara. That Shalayalu Hakayanam Laduchan, while they're wearing their sandals, they should stand there barefoot, if you remember, because if a shoelace, Gemara says, would have gotten untied, imagine you look up to the platform, for today you're in front of the shul, let's say you have five Kreihanim, and one kohen is fixing his shoelace. You don't notice that. All you notice is that everyone is standing and he's sitting down. And you're going to think, ooh, maybe he realized that he should not have been there. And again, you're going to be moitzi laz on his kashrus. We're so careful not to do anything for people to suspect that the kohen is not really your kohen. Halacha said, when they are blessing the people, now nowadays, everyone is covered with the talis. Clearly, that was not the case in the times of Chazal. Clearly. So there's nothing covering the face of the Am, like today in the Sephardic tent. They don't cover their face. The Kaihanim are not covering their faces. So now you have to say that they should not be looking at the people, nor should they be Masik Das. In other words, when you start staring at people, you're not focused on the bracha that you're giving. Ela yiyu a name, the Kaihanim should have their eyes connected to audits. Like someone that the Rambam explicitly wrote is davening, their eyes should be looking down. Ein Adam Nushoy Listakel Bifnei HaKaihanim. People in the congregation should not be looking in the face of the Kohanim while they're giving the bracha. Why? Says the Rambam, Kedei shelo yasiach datoi, right, big machlekes and gears again, or datam, whether it's going to cause the Kohen to lose his focus, whether it's going to lose the people to lose their focus, that's these two versions, just to point out that when we're speaking about duchening in the Beis HaMikdash, what did we learn, Chaver? We just learned this not that long ago, that the Shechina is Shoira al Kishrei Etzbois, that the Shechina is resting on the fingers of the Kohanim while they're giving the bracha. That's a whole different thing. And the Gemara says that in the Beis HaMikdash, if someone would look at the Kohanim's hands while they're benching, their eyes would become weakened. But that's in the Beis HaMikdash. Here we're speaking about Bagvulin. Also not to look for a different reason. Not because the Shechina Shoira, you're not allowed to look at the Shechina. Clearly, it's because Esech Hadas. Everyone should be mindful to hear the bracha. They should have kavana, and they should face. But they ain't madit and bifneim, do not stare at their faces. Machlal, you know, machshava mayelos. The Fidik Rebbe begins lukut diburim with that. Just to know that if I'm staring at your face, you're going to stare back at me. So again, whether that's the two girsas, even it's more about the Kohanim have to have kavana. I'm staring at the face of the Kohanim. It's going to be hard for them to look down. They're going to look at the people. So no one stare in their face. Now, halachah says, im hoya kohen amavarech echot. Now, you cannot say Kohanim because Kohanim is Lashon Rabin. We're speaking about the Shliach Tzibur. So say Kohen, Omer Lohen, to them. When do you call out to them? When there's a them. If there's only one, so you don't call out. Does the Kohen give a bracha? Absolutely. But you go straight from Atoiv Shimcha L'chona Elohaydais to the bracha of the Kohen. Maschel L'barach Ma'atzmai. You don't call out Kohanim. Shliach Tzibur, still Makri Oysa Mila B'Mila, as was explained above, Achloikis Kesavishta holds, that the Rambam holds, that the only word that is not read for them is the word Yivorech. However, that's only if there's one. The moment you have Shnaim or Yosef, then a maschil levarachat sheyikra lohem shliach tzibur by telling them koyhanim, and they respond vaomrim yivarech v'chol. That's another diuk of the Kesef Mishnah. In other words, really, after you say koyhanim, what is the Rambam already said? That is when they give the brach. We know that, but when the Rambam is adding and they say yivarech v'chol to be medayek, that only from then buhu makra oisa mila mamila ala zera shomar. Halacha tes. Atkan birchas koyanim begvulin. How does birchas koyanim and the Beis HaMikdash differ? The Rambam is going to write about two differences, two ikar differences. Ketzad birchas koyanim Beis HaMikdash. So first of all, really there's more, because even though we're going to learn, we learned this from Talmud, there was a Shmoneh Esrei, or an abbreviated Shmoneh Esrei, that was said while the Evarim of the Shachar were already on the lower ramp. They would go daven, as we learned how much they daven, and then they would bring it up. But let's speak about the Talmud Shol Shachar. So when HaKoyanim Oilam Leduchen Acher Sheyashlimu HaKoyanim Avoida Shel Talmud, when they finished Avoida, that would take around an hour of bringing the morally Talmud, they would give Rechus Koyanim. Now there, difference number one is, it's not where it's inserted. But first difference is that in the Beis HaMikdash, umagbiyam yedeim lamayla al gaber roshayim, they would lift their hands above their heads, everyone other than the Kohen Gadol. Now, one, why? Because we're going to learn in a moment another difference. And that is that in the Beis HaMikdash, while they said Birchas Koyanim, they would pronounce Hashem's name the way it's actually written. And that would bring upon them a much greater revelation of the Shechina. And therefore, since the Shechina rests, the words are Al Kishrei Etzbo Yisem. The picture is not good because their hands were higher up, Kevan. It was like higher than their heads. And so since the Shechina is resting on their fingers, what part of the body should be the highest? Where the Shechina is. Higher than the Shechina Shoida Al Roshoi that we learned from the Yenuk and the Alter Rebbe. It's a higher level of Gilui Shechina. There's many levels of Shechina. So they picked it up very high, and the Etz Boiseim was in the same position. The Rambam just writes it was extended, but the details he doesn't write. Now there's one exception, and that is the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz. On the tzitz, it said Kodesh Lashem. So therefore, She'ein Magbin Yadav L'mayla Menat Tzitz. The Rebbe gives a whole talk over here that it's not pshat, that it's ideally you should put your hands over the tzitz. You can't, because it's disrespectful to the tzitz. The Rebbe says that since the tzitz was the highest on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, then the Kedusha that was Shoyra in the Yutke Vavke Shein on the Tzitz, so to say, channeled more bracha in the Birchas Koyanim. So Yudavke wanted it to be under the Shein Hashem on the Tzitz, because that became part, so to say, however, that whatever that means, man, godliness that was coming to the people was coming through that Shein Hashem. And however, but as far as having a makri, here it's the same. Someone was makri oisam milam amila kederach oisam migvulam. You know what? You know who the Echad is? You know who the Echad is? Not called Shmuley. It's not called the Shliach Tzibur. Shliach Tzibur means we do it in the middle of the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. So you have a Shliach that's saying the Shmoneh Esrei. Like we mentioned, even though there was some of the Shmoneh Esrei that was said in the Beis HaMikdash, in the middle of the offering up of the Talmud, but not now. Here, it's not in the context of davening. So you had an Echad that would be Makre, Ashi Yashlimu, Shloi Shepsuke. Okay, so first the position is that they pick their hands over their heads. Number two, the ein oidim ha'am, ave ein ha'am oidim achar kol pasuk. The people don't answer amen. I added the word amen. People don't answer after every pasuk. There's no amen in the Beis HaMikdash, but they don't respond. Elo oisin oisim ha'migdash bracha achas. It's all one bracha. In other words, yivar echacha and yoed and yisa mila b'mila, but it's done straight. And uche sheyashlimu, when they finish the word shalom, then call oinin, as they answer always in the Beis HaMikdash, Baruch Hashem Elikim Elikei Yisrael min ha'olam ba'adoin. Halacha Yud. Now, when they are saying the bracha, Yivarechacha, Hashem. How do we pronounce Hashem? You pronounce it Shem Adnai, not in the temple, not by Birchas Koyanim. Ba'oimer es Hashem kichsavai, the name of Hashem, all of the Koyanim. This is again prior to the passing of Shimon HaTzadik. But the way it should be is that all of the Koyanim say what we call the Shem HaMefoydish. V'Shem HaNehege, Miyud, and a K, and a Vav, and a K, V'Zehu HaShem HaMefoydish HaOmer B'chol Nok. However, Ube Medina, outside the Beis HaMikdash, Stam Lohoyr, what did the Rambam call it before? Begvulen. Okay, I don't know why. Ube Medina, Oimnim Oisai B'Kinui. Kinui means not the real name. V'Hu Ba'alev Dalet, She'ein Maskidim Es HaShem Kechsovei Ela B'Mikdash Bilvat. So now you should know, says the Rambam, that is the way things should be. But Mishamei Shimon HaTzadik, who was he, guys? Many people say he was the first Kohen Gadol of Zman Bayis Sheni. We learned from the Rambam clearly not. In the Hagdama, we learned that the Rambam held that Ezra was the Kohen Gadol. That's a kasha. Anyways, it was the big day. He was for 40 years the Kohen Gadol. And what does the Gemara say? That after he passed away, the many miracles that would happen daily did not happen daily. They happened at times. There was a certain level of the Gilui HaShechina that ceased when he passed away. So from that time, but why did they do that? Okay, so there's no Gilui HaShechina, but why not say the way you should say it? We don't want a person who's not behaving okay to learn how to pronounce it properly, which means that we don't know how to pronounce it properly. Even when you look in Shem Havaya with all of the vowels, Al Pi Kabbalah, it can be vowel B'Shem Elikim, it can be all these Nakudas. There was something about, if you're not taught how to say it, you don't know how to pronounce it. Even though it has to be taught, and it was taught to students or to the children that are behaving properly, only once, Rambam's Girsa is, in 7 years, which makes a lot more sense, because when we had that Girsa in 70 years, people lived come 70 years then. It went 7 years, it should not be forgotten. And all calls Zegadulu Lishmai and Nichbada Noiram. And as also we had in the Gemara when it says Zeshmi Lo Oilam, that's what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu over there in the beginning when it got met Moshe Rabbeinu the first time in the burning bush. So Zeshmi Lo Oilam, Zeshmi Lahalim. This is my name, but my name in most times is going to be concealed. And like that, Amram writes, and all of that is Gedulu Lishmai. Halacha Yudal. Eight Birchas Kahanim, the Medes Buchal Mokim, Ella Belashem HaKoidesh. Why? Because it says Koy Sivarku Azoy, like this, as Bnei Yisrael. And now that Amram is going to write that normally you only have one limud from one word. Sometimes same word or same words can be teaching many different dinim. Kach lamdu mepei Hashmuel and Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom. So this is really our tradition. Koy Sivarku, like this, means standing. Koy Sivarku means b'nesias kapayim, lifting up your hands. Koy Sivarku b'lashon hakodesh. Koisev Aruchu, panim keneged panim. Koisev Aruchu, dafke in a loud voice. Koisev Aruchu, in the Holy Temple, b'shem ha-mepoedesh. And v'hushiyah b'amikdash k'mai, she'omarnu. Final, halacha yud beis. Halacha yud beis. Enoch yanam b'shem b'chol makam no'hoisev bracha al shleshes ha-psukim. There are so many beautiful brachas in the Torah. Like, for example, you have in the beginning of Devarim, Hashem alikei avisechem yosef alechem kochem elef pa'amim. You can't say it then. Loi bekol ram and not even belachash. Shenemar loi soisifu al hadavar. The birchas kiyanim is a perfect bracha. Perfect means don't add either. More is less. The shasha kol koinay leduchan kishu oiker aglav la'alois. So even though he doesn't add to the bracha while he's making the birchas kiyanim, which would be after he says the bracha prior to the bracha, he makes a prayer. And this is what the Kohanim say. Yiratzim ufanach Hashem l'cheinu. Shatiyah bracha zu shetzivisonu levarach hasam chisol bracha shel leima. Ve'al yehi ba mikhsha. Ve'oven. Ma'ata ve'ad oilam. Ve'koydim shiyachzat panad levarach hasu amivarech. Baruch ato Hashem elokeinu melach ha'oilam asher kidishonu b'kdushose shel aharon v'tzivanu. This, until here, is what a Kohen says prior to doing anything unique to the Kohen. Now he adds, what's the Vitzivanu? Levarach is Ama Yisrael. And here we have the beautiful word, the Ahava, but the famous, why do you say Yashu Koyach Koyin is doing his obligation? Because the Ahava is not written in the Torah. But a bracha only works when there's Ahava. You want to bench someone, you have to love them. Like we said before, according to the Ramam, after he finishes the bracha, and umaschal levarachim. Okay, I'm not a Kohen, but I know there's many different menhagim. When they turn around, here we see Shita Sarambo. After he finishes, so if, again, he's not giving the people another bracha, but now he's praying to God. That's something else. And what does he say? So we also say, Adir Bamorin. In other words, we give a prayer, they give a prayer. What do they pray to Hashem? God Almighty, we did what you decreed on us. Now, I say, Imanu Mashiv Tachtonu. What is that? Akshkifa mima oin kachcha min ha-shamayim uvarachas amcha es Yisrael. Halacha yud gimel, kesha machzira makana maspneim latzibu levarachim. And uchsha machzira mpneim min latzibu achashim uvarachim. Turning around, says the Rambam, loy yachziru el al derech yamin. Only turn al derech yamin, the right. Now I would stand up, I'll stand up because I saw the Rebbe doing it. That's the way right, many people counter into it. Right means not this way. Right means this way. Right means this way. Your right hand is outside the circle. Your left hand is in the circle.
Counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise. That's Derech Yamin. That's the way we dance around the bima. That's the way we turn it around by Boy B'Shalom. When people read it, that they don't see that, they mamish come to the opposite conclusion. That's the way we worked around the Mizbeach. That's the rule. And the chain, this is not unique to the Kohanim. That kol pinoy sheyehei adam pina, whenever you have to turn and you have an option, you have to turn al derech yamin. That's the way Yidden turn around. Final halacha yudalit b'migdash mevarchim birchas kohanim pamachas bayin. So even though we began today's chapter about all of the different times, so the Rama makes it clear what he wrote in the beginning of the chapter is not in the basic. Beis Hamikdash, it's one. When achar tamid shel shachar, then boyim vo'imdim al maila su'ulam. Now here is the bomb question. Maila su'ulam, my friends, is not, we know in Tamid, the duchan, just another duchan, between Ezra Yisrael. You're going from east to west. The kids said, Ezra Yisrael had 11 amas. Between Ezra Yisrael and Ezra Kahanim, there was a step that was one amah 12. On top of that step, they had a staircase, like the Rebbe had by Napoleon's March. They put over there a staircase that had three steps, and Kohanim stood over there. And that's much further west than Maila Su'ulam. So who's the Maila Su'ulam? So there are many, this is a big topic. Some hold like this, that there are certain Kohanim that may not do the Avoida because they have Mumen. Now we're going to learn in the next chapter certain Mumen, certain blemishes that don't even allow you to do it. We're not talking about those blemishes. We're talking about other blemishes. The Kohen's nose is longer than his pinky, as we'll learn in the Mumen. So since he can't do the avoida, he's not allowed to be on that duchen, but he has to give birchas kohanim. So therefore, many learned b'shita sarambam that there were two locations where the kohanim stood. He spoke about the duchen before, and now he's speaking about almayla su'ulam. Umavarchem kederach shomar avu b'medina, but outside the holy temple, as we began this chapter, umavarchem oisa achar kol tfila. Guys, I know the word kol tfila is a little bit difficult. It doesn't mean achar. What does it really mean? It's in the middle of the tfila. But it's towards the end of the tefillah, aside of mincha, as we began this chapter with Chomakim, Mishadlim, Sheyia, Hamakri, Oysan, Yisrael. Now, if there's no option, if you have a minion just of Kohanim, and the Shliach Tzibur is a Kohen, okay, we're going to learn details in the next chapter. Guys, what happens if the only Kohen in the community is a Shliach Tzibur? That's next chapter. The Shliach Tzibur will stop if he's able to. He's going to go to the Duchan. There'll be another Makri, and that other Makri will say Sim Shalom. But that's unusual. Now, that's only if he's the only Kohen. If there's two Kohanim, then he's the Shliach Tzibur. But we would rather for that not to happen. We would rather for him to be a Yisrael, as it says, Amor Lohem, Mechlal She'ena Makri Mehem. He's not one of them, means he's not a Kohen. Gevalt. Perek Hamisha, also again, just to whoever came in a little bit late, that the Rebbe pointed out that in the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah, the Rambam calls the series Hilchas Tefillah uBirchas Kohanim. Many Rambams have on the 14th and the 15th chapter the words Nesiyas Kapayim. So the question is, what did the Rambam name these final two parakim? It's an open-ended question. So whatever this is, Birchas Kohanim, or it's called Nesiyas Kapayim, this is actually the final chapter in the series. We're going to have 12 halachas, and we're going to learn the details about Birchas Kohanim, specifically the six rules that are essential for Birchas Kohanim. Essential. Shisha devarim moinin nesiyas kapayim. Moinin means even post facto. They have to be there. If not, you can't give it. Number one, haloshin, language will explain that Amam is gavaldit. We'll unpackage every one. Bahamumin, certain types of physical blemishes. Number three, certain types of sins. Number four, hashanim, a person who's going to lack years, lack physical maturity, as we'll explain. If someone is intoxicated, tumas hayudaim, and if there is the tuma, ritual impurity on the hands. Now let's go one by one by one. Rule number one is lashon. What does it mean that language? I'm sorry, not language. I take that back. We already, last chapter, we said it has to be the lashon hakodesh. Lashon means that the person has to be articulate. That's what lashon means. That ho'ilgin, people that cannot clearly pronounce letters and words, like, for example, that the aleph and an ayin is all the same, cannot give birchas kohanim. Now, I just want to add a little caveat. When you're living amongst Yemenites or Sfardim, that they can all pronounce it properly, and this individual doesn't know how to pronounce it properly. If oilam goilam, like bayos for golos, by Ashkenazim, most of us don't even know the different aleph and ayin, that's not called an ilgit. Okay. Oi, a shin sin. That's a very common thing that I saw from my older, when I was young teachers. They interchange one and the other. There were actually certain villages that were bordering Russia and Lithuania, and there was always wars. But if you wanted to know which one belongs to which country for the Minhag Yisrael, so how do they pronounce the shin and the sin? Some places, they all made that mistake. Shibaylas, Shibaylas, Chayetzavim. Ein oisin es kapein. Furthermore, v'chach, kveide peh, kveide loshen. Kveide peh is a stutterer. Kveide loshen is people that, you know, they slur when they speak. She'ein devreim nikarim, ein oisin es kapein. Halacha number base. Halacha number base begins with rule number base. What was the second rule? Numen. What does numen mean? Now, ketzad, koyin sheyesh lem numen befanav. If he has a blemish in his face, these are not the numen that disqualify a koyin from the avodah. This is something else. This is a discernible blemish. Then, as we mentioned in the last chapter, they did not cover their faces and hands with talesim, talesois. Neither did we. So you would be, now, even though that they're supposed to look at the ground, we're not supposed to look at them, but if there's a real deformity on their faces or hands or feet, that will attract attention and people will be staring at them, and that will go against the rule we learned in the last chapter. So if they have a blemish on their face or on their hands or on their feet, what does a blemish mean? Kegoin, etzvois of akumois, right? The fingers are bent or they are akushois or they're crooked. There's certain skin blemishes where some of this pigment in the skin goes away. So you have like these white little polka dots. White. It's a certain type of skin ailment. Well, you say skapov because the Omar Mistaklin boy. And so what? Let's go to the gear. So we learned in the last chapter, if I'm going to stare at the kohen is going to feel that. He's going to stare back at me. And at that moment, he won't have kavan. Another series of blemishes. If someone's spittle is, he's a drooler. He's always drooling down his beard while he speaks. Or if someone is a blind person, now, you know, a blind person, you can see in their eye that they're blind. However, only on the last two that we learned. Don't compare all the blemishes together. The concept that if you're dosh be'ida, which means everyone knows you're already either they're habituated by seeing you, it's not a problem. It's not a blanket statement. It's only where that I'm right. For these last two, he writes, that's why he repeats it, that they know the blind person, or they know that this person has some, you know, spittle drooling when he talks, then mutter. Why? Another, if a person's hands were colored with purple or scarlet, in other words, they're working people and they're working with dyes. On these two also, everyone in the city, you know, it's a dying plant city, then see, not here, it's not that they're dush, but everyone has it themselves. Again, this does not go on the yod of akumais or akushais, etc. Halacha 3. Ho'aveda, what type of sin will disallow a coin from duchening? Ketzad coin shuharig as a nefesh. If he manslaughtered, even if it was mamish b'shoigik, af alpi that he did tshuva, as we know, you know, there's a concept of Ari Mikla. Let's go b'zman abayis. Tshuva, how do you know he did tshuva? We know he went to the Ari Mikla and he stayed there in Admois Koin Agot. Lo yisas kapov, because it says, yedechem damim moleyu, and it says, when you will spread out your hands, God says, the pasuk continues, I will hide my eyes from you. And that's specifically to the sin of taking someone else's life, even if, God forbid, it was done to shrink. Another category of sin, meaning tshuva doesn't help for this. Now, there, we're speaking about doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, here, our series is talking about Birchas Kohanim. Zokta Rambam, it's mamash the same thing. Birchas Kohanim is considered part of the avodah. Ubracha kavodah. Bracha means the Birchas Kohanim. And as it says, he quotes a pasuk in Ekev, L'sharsoi. L'sharsoi means to serve Hashem in the temple. Ulevarach b'shmai. V'chein koin she'emel avodah zarov. He became a meshumad. Ava pishachazar boi. Meshumad means, that Rambam is emphasizing, he didn't worship idols yet. It's like that a person becomes a Christian. Before they did any avodah zarah, that in itself disqualifies them. However, all the other sins ain't moinin. Well, halacha dalit is shana, means the disqualification of you're not yet old enough. Now, guys, the Rambam is speaking about where there is only one kind. I want to preface that. If you have Kohanim that meet the age of Shanim, then all the other Kohanim, even youngsters, go up to the Duchen. It's not a problem. We're speaking about this is the only Kohen, or all the Kohanim are very young. There isn't at least one Kohen that qualifies with age. Ketzad, Kohen Na'ar, Na'ar doesn't mean he's not bar mitzvah yet. Na'ar is what we just learned on over Shabbos, that the physical growing of the beard for people that grow beards, we're not speaking about shaving, we're not speaking about the sadis, who will never, some people never grow beards. That's not a problem. But if someone will grow a beard prior to that, and it's ad sheyismalei zakanei, not like a yeshiva bachur only has a few hairs going here and there. That was for you, Simcha. Your beard has to be full. Then you can look and, okay. Again, the minute today is that you bring up your kahana, bring up the children for chinuch. No problem, because you have the adults. Now we're going on. We're still in halacha dala, but we're going to number five. Everywhere. Everything. That means if you have a bunch of yeshiva bachram lach in the sifter, you got to get an adult. Now, some bachram, I take it back. Some bachram, they have a beard, you know, when they're 14, they have big beards. But I'm speaking if that didn't happen. The hayayin, you can't be intoxicated. Ketzad, there's a lot of nuance. If you drink a revius in one gulp, then einon is a cup of achi yosid esyeinoy me olav. The Rambam is not telling us here how does that effect go away. The Rambam will write it elsewhere. But he, again, since bracha is juxtaposed to, it's compared to, like we just quoted from Ekeb, l'shar soyu l'varach b'shmoy to avoida, a koyin may not do the avoida, shasu yayin, nor can he give birchas kehan. Now what happens if he drank that avias, let's go with our sheet, that's like 3 ounces, but he drank it in two gulps. Bechlal, when you drink wine, you have to drink it in two gulps, with the exception of mitzvah. We learned this in the Gemara. When you do a mitzvah, to show that you're eager to do a mitzvah, kiddush, ideally, one gulp. But if you're in two gulps, or if you put some water in it, then you're good. That's if you had exactly a avias. But if you drink more than an avias, even though you watered it down, not only in 2 times, in 10 times, like those arrogant Frenchies, they drink sip, then lo yisas kapov. You have to make sure that the effect of the wine departed. Again, the Rambam doesn't write here what that means. How much is it? A piece? That's the big machlekes. So the Rambam resolves it. So he says, but what fingers are we talking about? The thumb. And bachlal, whenever you learn in halacha fingers, it's about the finger width of the thumb's width. That's the klal. Whenever you're going to read an halacha fingers, it's also called boyhein yad. Halacha five. Tumas ayudaim, the sixth final prerequisite. Ketzad koyin shaloi natalos yadav. If he did not have his hand washed, what we call negelvaser, or yisas kapov. How should he wash negelvaser? So when we just spoke this out not that long ago, that when the Rambam writes the word pedic, the Rambam did not write what he means by pedic. There's a three-way machlokes to shine in what joint is the pedic. By birchas kehanim, there's no doubt that the pedic means the wrist. No doubt. Elo noitel asyodav ada pedic. And now he wants to clarify, versus the pedic. So he writes, kederach shemekachin la'avoida. And by in the base hamigdosh, the pedic did not mean the joint, which is the middle of the fingers. Yeah, not even more the joint between the fingers and the palm. Pedic means the wrist. And then he makes the bracha. And as it says, so yedech mekoydesh uvarchu es Hashem. Vehecholol eina noise eskapo lefi she'einoi beki unoi. Halacha, wav, says that I'm koyin shalei hoyeloi dove mikol elo advarim amoyim amoyim nisi eskapayim. If he met all of the six, there's nothing that he's lacking. And he's not yet medagdig b'mitzvahs. Means he's not what we would call, he's not frum. Or shaho you have b'riyas meranan and achrov. You have the rumors. There's halachas about rumors. There's rumors that are not being challenged about the behavior of that individual. Or we know shaloi hoya masoya matani b'tzedek. That is, the dealings and business is not honest. So you would say this is not the ideal person. No, it doesn't matter. Hadeiz and noises kapo ve'ein moine noisei. Lefi shazu mitzvas asay al kol koyin v'koyin sheroi l'nesias kapayim, because he was not excluded from the 6 rules we began in this perek, the shisha devarim. And ve'ein oimim l'adam, you don't tell a person, God gave you a mitzvah. Elama, this guy doesn't eat kosher yet. So you don't tell a person, And since you don't eat kosher, it can be mechalal Shabbos. No one says that. Just because you're doing something wrong, you shouldn't do another thing wrong. Giving the birchas kohanim is your obligation. You don't tell an usher, hoisiv resha, vihimanam in mitzvahs, you can't do such a thing. So the sixth, the shisha devarim that we learned about, God said that. If he's not excluded from the six, he's obligated to give the bracha. The al tatam of a toimer halacha zayin, umatoil birchas hedit, he's a hedit. I wanted to lahoyer that maybe that in English, the word idiot, maybe it comes from the hedit. Don't think, what it will help. Guys, you know who's giving you the bracha? The Eibishter is giving you the bracha. The Kohen is only the channel. She'en kibel ha-bracha toli b'koyhanin. Ela ba'akadosh baruch hu. She'nemen as it says, v'somu eshmi al b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avarachem. Which means, ha-koyhanim, when they do the mitzvah, she'netztavu bo ha-kama, ha-akadosh baruch hu b'rachmum avarachis Yisrael b'kechetzoi. God is the one that gives the bracha. Allah ha-ches, am she'achoy ha-kohanim, the people that are standing behind the koyhanim, let's say, in this part of the world, we daven towards the east. So if you have people standing further more east than the Kohanim, Einu Mechal HaBracha, they're not included. They're not included. However, those who stand on their side, yeah, Harim Mechal HaBracha. Now, as long as you're standing in front of the Kohanim, means here in America, and when you're davening on this side of Eretz Yisrael, as long as you're standing to the west of the Kohanim, I don't care if there's an iron curtain separating you from the Kohanim. V'im hoysa mechitza bein Kohanim ha-bein ha-mizbarchim. Even if it's a chaymish al barzel, the iron wall, choyilu paneim mul panei akehanim, as long as they are facing each other, harei hem bechlal habracham. The Rebbe's meaning was that in the Beis HaKnesses, even when there was no kohen, because our meaning of Ashkenazim was only to do it on Yontif, is that the Rebbe would face the kohen. He didn't walk to see his face. That you don't need to do that, but if you're standing in the shul, no matter your place in the Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, face, even though the Shliach Tzibur is not facing the people, but you're facing the Shliach Tzibur. Halacha tes, nesias kapayim ba'asor, you need to have 10 people, the Kohanim can be part of the minyan. Now, beis ha-knesset shekolam Kohanim, what do? Kulam noisen es kapayim. But to whom? So guys, if there's exactly 10 Kohanim, all go up. Lebi hei mevarchim, lachem shabat sofrim, lachem shabat dorim. This is the Lashon and Chazal. People that are working. Mi oin achrim, amen. If there's only 10, Hanoshim Bahataf. Now, what happens if there's 11 Kohanim? Ah, the Im Nisharu Shama Sor Kohanim Yosir Al Elo Shaloduchan. Because if you have 11 Kohanim, you have 12 Kohanim, you know how many Kohanim should go up? The Rambam says 2. In other words, ideally, leave 10 men in the men's section to be the recipients of, even though their bracha goes to everyone else as well. And even if there's 11, so you don't say Kohanim, one goes up. If there's only 10, so anyways, you won't have a minion of recipients. All of the Kohanim should go up. And the only coin is the Shliach Tzibur. Ideally, he should not have been the Shliach Tzibur. He's leading the congregation. So the Rambam says, number one, number two. Number one is don't duchen. Why? Because they said it by heart. And we are afraid that you're going to get confused. But if and he'll know then he's allowed to. How does he do it? Just don't know how he does it now. He's oiker raglov by avoida, but he's still davening avoida. So normally the coin would be oiker raglov and go get the hands washed the latest, I would say. Here, even though the shliach tzibur is standing with his feet together, he's going to move. He's going to take a step, I would say, and he'll stay there. He'll keep on davening, but he moved. At least he was oikeraglo. After he says, Atoyiv Shimcha Lachana Alohoidois, he's only one kohen, so no one is going to be makre kohanim. He's going to go to the duchen. He's going to walk and turn around and do the bracha, and you're going to have a makre. Ideally, that makre should finish in shalom. Okay, that's how it works. Im elam kohen klau, there's no kohen. Then kishyagia shlechzir lesim shalom oimer. Which is what we do since we paskin that you can only give a bracha when you're simcha. There's only real simcha, chutz la'aretz, anyantet. So what do we do? So at least we the shliach tzibur says, Elokeinu elokei aviseinu, orcheinu mabracha, ham shuleshes batoira. Now, guys, I want to tell you that I know the commas after batoira. I know there has to be a discussion about it. From not knowing, from the lack of knowledge, it only makes sense to read it, orcheinu mabracha, ham shuleshes. Ham Shuleshes Batoira means it's written 3 times in the Torah. I'm sorry, it's not. Birchas Kohanim is written once in the Torah. Parshas Nasa. It's a bracha hamishuleshes. In the Torah written by Moshe, l'chayra, if someone can know, tell me why. Many people do it otherwise. Could be there's a reason for that. I think you should read baruchem rach hamishuleshes. But Torah exalted Moshe avdecha, kama, ho'amur u'piyar novanav, koyanam am kedishecha ka'amur. And now you go, Yivarech Hashem v'yishmarecha, Yoher Hashem, ponev elecha v'yichunecha, Yis Hashem, ponev elecha v'yosem lecha shalom, v'samu eshmi al b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avarachem, which is not our minig to say in davening, but the Rebbe was very, very pointed out that when Kehanim give the bracha, not with the bracha, asher k'dishonim ha-mitzvayis v'tzivonim, but to give brachos Kehanim, they should add this end. Now, v'ein ho'am oinim amein, we do. If the Shliach Tzibur is giving it, don't answer amein. Wow. You know, don't answer amen to none of these brachas. We do. The shliach tzibur, everyone says amen. Other people say amen. Kein yihi ratzon. The Rambam says no, don't do it because it's not the birchas kehanim. It's just it's like a zeicher that there is a birchas kehanim. Halacha yudal. Koyin shenosas kapa beis haknesses. If he already duchen, he fulfilled his obligation, and he goes to another beis haknesses, and he finds a tzibur that's davening, and they did not yet come to birchas kehanim. Noisa Yadav doesn't mean he's obligated, but he gets the mitzvah if he does so. He's not being even on Baal Toysa. It's like you daven chakras once. You can't daven chakras again unless you make it into a tefillah standava. The coin can give it the whole day. Another thing. When they hit the words that it say, he did not move. Dan shuv eino oilav oisa tefillah. As long as he moved his feet, even though he did not reach the duchan, he only got there afterwards. That's fine. It is oidam avarech. And final halacha yud beis kol koyin sheino el duchan. If a koyin chose not to go up to the duchan, but where did he stay? He stayed in the tzibur. So you would think that what? That maybe he should at least get the bracha of the am. Now let me just say by heart the way that I ever learned this final halacha. The koyin gets a special bracha from God. Since the koyin did his mitzvah, Hashem blesses the people. That's what we learned in the Spadic. But Hashem gives a special bracha to the Kohanim that channel the bracha. A Kohen who chooses not to duchen, not only does he not get the bracha that God gives to the Kohanim, he doesn't even get the bracha of the people because he chose not to bless the people. Even though you can argue that technically he only violated one positive commandment, really it's as if he broke three positive commandments because it says, Kohen Baruch Hu B'nei Yisrael. That's one mitzvah I say. The Torah says the words Amar Lohem, which he did not do, and Vesam Hashemi, which he did not do. V'chol koin she'enem avarech, enem izbarech. V'chol koin amavarech, mizbarech. Shneman, as it says, v'avarecha mevarecheko. The Rebbe pointed out that in the Gemara, they say that it's reversed. The Gemara says, kol koin amavarech, mizbarech, because it says, v'avarecha mevarecheko. The Gemara, this, in the Shas, then they say, and if, koin she'enem avarech, enem izbarech. The Rambam reverts it to be Messiah b'toiv. That's the Rebbe's Vart. We're concluding the whole Hechos Tefillah, Berachos Kehanim, when the Siyas Kapayim, you want to end up with something good. And again, that's the, not only are you not Mizbarech with the Bracha of the people, not only are you not Mizbarech with the Avarcha Mavarachekha, because you didn't bench, you don't even get the Bracha that the people got from the other Kehanim.
Does Rambam say how the Shlach Tzibur washes his hands?
Rambam doesn't mention that at all. Does not mention that at all. Chayda, La Rambam, there wasn't such a thing. Now, the Rambam writes Tumas Yadayim. Tumas Yadayim means that if his Yadayim are Tomei, then he has to wash his hands until the Pedic. Fine. But I'm saying, but today, but nowadays we go much more than that. That's what he's pointing out. He's a Levi. So now, even if the Kohen is in the middle of davening and he knows he doesn't have Tumas Yadayim, but to be Moisef Tara, there's going to be the washing of the hands by Levi. The Rambam doesn't mention that. Let's move right there. Hilchos, Tfilin, Umezuzah, V'Sefer Torah. So this series is going to have in it included five positive commandments, and these are its details. Number one, Liyas Tfilin al Roish, for there to be Tfilin on the heads, Beis L'Kasher Maliyah. They know it's late, but I have to say the following. When we learned the Hagdamah, we pointed out the Kasha that everyone has on the Rambam, that the Rambam consistently speaks about the head before the hand, and that's against the Seyded in the Pasuk, and that's against the way we put them on. So the Ragat Shavar points out that the answer is to be Medayik in the words. The mitzvah is either to put it on, or the mitzvah is it should be on. Big difference. If the mitzvah is that it should be on, then as long as it's on, you're fulfilling the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is only to put it on, you get the mitzvah one moment when you put it on. So since the Lashon HaKosov says, ukshartam, which means put it on, So the Rambam understands that the mitzvah of the yad is only to put it on. Then it's already on, but the mitzvah is to put it on. It's a one moment mitzvah. The whole yulitay tafas means it should remain in between your eyes. Look at the words of the Rambam. Lihiyois tefillin al, it should be on your head. It's more constant. By the hand tefillin, the Rambam says it's only the binding. So the Rebbe says, now this is the Rebbe's word. Atkan the ragat shavar. Why he, that the head is constant, the hand is only one time. So since the Rambam in the header said that everything that he included in Seder Ahava are mitzvahs tediros, and we spoke out that even the Seder in all of the halachas, the big halachas, and Seder Ahava is from the most tother to the least tother. So following that order, which one happens more often, the head or the hand? The head, because the head is more tother. Because it's always on your, if you're always doing the mitzvah, the hand, you're only doing the mitzvah when you're putting it on. Halacha gimel likboy mezuzah lepischi asharim, to put up a mezuzah. Number four, lichtoiv kol ish ve'ishay for toida la'atzmai. And number five, lichtoiv hamelach sefer sheni la'atzmai, kidei shi yaloi shnei sifrei toida. In other words, if he never got one, that's the Rambam is going to write at the end of, then he has to write two. But one is like every other year, and one special one will be called Mitzvahs Elu B'Prakim Elu. Now the first chapter is going to be primarily about the writing of tefillin and mezuzahs and Sefer Torah and some halachas that we have, halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, regarding the above. Pedek Rishon has 20 halachas, Mishkafrelach, we have time, halacha out. Arba Parshias Elu, the following four portions, which is Kaddishly written in Parshas Boy. Then V'hoyiki V'yacha, that's juxtaposed in Parshas Boy. In Sefer, the Rambam speaks about the big Sfarim, the Elu Shmois. And the parsha of Shema was Hanon, and the parsha of Shemaya Ekev, Hein Hanichtavos Bifnei Atzmon. They are written separately. They are written separately on one parchment for the Yad. The Rambam doesn't go into these details, and on four parchments for the head. Umachap and Oisim Ba'Oyram. They are then covered with leather, and this is called tefillin. Umanichen Oisim Al Harosh. See the Rambam Ois, and that's it. Ubekoishen Oisim Alayah. Says Rambam, even if only a little point of one of these letters are lacking, which makes the letter formed improperly, biblically it's invalid, even if one letter, even if a koitz is missing, but there's details, a koitz that changes the form of the letter, then ma'akev and ha-toira. Achayu shteim mechtavis shleimus. Chayim sefer toira. What does the Rambam write by sefer toira? Shechasar afilo ois achas. Puzzle. The Rambam doesn't write the koitz. It means the same thing, because the koitz changes the form of the letter. Halachi gimel. Now, here we go. The Rambam with those numbers. Hasara, dvarim, yesh batfilin. 10 halachas by tefillin, all of them are called halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and they are not l'chatchila d'kadinim, but they are ma'akev, even post facto. And therefore, imshina ba'achas mihem, harei hatefillin psulois. Two of the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is regarding writing them, the other eight is regarding their chipuyam, their coverings, ukshiras litzu oiseyem, and the tying of their straps. Number one, that they have to be written with something called diyoy. Diyoy in English means ink. We'll see in a moment what that means. And number two, b'shiyon achtavim and klav. As we'll see in a moment, what klav, what parchment means. So let's go for the first two. Halacha d'alakeitza ma'isa diyoy. How do you make ink? Now we know how to make ink. So makabtzim ha'ashon shal shumanim. You have oils that you burn. And what happens with oils, there's a dark smoke. And they captured that dark smoke. The way they would capture it is they would put a glass on top of it or ceramic on top of it, and the black smoke would touch, and then there would be this residue of black, and they would scrape it off. Or so either smoke that's coming from oil or from tar or from wax, and you would capture that smoke, and then the goyvelin oisam b'srafo ilan, they would knead it together with sap from a tree. And we're going to see that according to the Zohar, it's very important that some of the ink should be coming from a tree. And then you would add a little bit, it was Raphaelan, so you'd have some sap of a tree, and you would have a little bit of honey. And then they would moisten it a lot, and they would crush it until you would make little flat pancakes. These pancakes, my friends, were hardened, right? That's how they would store them. Or they would then, because it was very moist, and they would dry them out. They would store this skinny, whoever can see, maybe Kevin will find a picture of them. Now, when they want to write, so then they would, you know, they would take that pan, they would take that cake, that pancake, that flat cake, not a pancake. They would take that little thing, and they would soak it in walnut juice or something similar to walnut juice, and that would become what we know to be ink. What's the advantage? There's a double advantage. Moisture, number one, black. Number two, we want ideally, the second one is ideally, is that if you would want to erase it, it should become erased. Now, even though by a tefillin and a mezuzah, because of certain detailed laws, you have to go, I'll say that, you can't fix them really, but I'll say for Torah, we can fix. And even by tefillin, you're beginning to write a letter and it's not good. The ideal is it should be a dark ink that lasts, but if you want to scrape it off, it gets erased. Doing this type of ink is gavaldik. She'im timchakenu yeh nimchak, which is a good thing. Zel di yoy, she'mitzvim v'na muvchar, lichtavay sfarim, tefillin and mezuzah. This guy, sfarim means sifrei Torah. V'im kosav shloshnu memei after v'kankantoyim, but if you only made the ink by making a combination of walnut juice and vitriol, now it will be black, it's going to be a good ink, but it won't be erasable. B'diavad, it's going to be kosher. And again, the Zohar writes, B'negeya, the ink is something that it has to come. B'dvarim haboyim min ha'etz. Halacha, im kein, hold on. So you're telling me, halacha l'meishu m'sinai. You're telling me, halacha l'meishu m'sinai ma'akev. D'yoy. The Rambam said what the yoy is. Then the Rambam says, but if you made it otherwise, it's reichet good. So what part of the d'yoy is ma'akev? Says the Rambam, im kein mami ata halacha shenem l'meishu m'sinai shi'iksu m'd'yoy. Ah, it's to be mamayit. Not that it has to be nimchakim, which is better. It should be an erasable ink. Better. It has to be black. And not red or green. Green or, yeah, let's go to the colors of Klipa, the Klipa colors, the Kratzma colors, the all of our enemies' flags colors, the colors of Tzoras, which is red and green. If you use that type of color when you wrote Sifrei Torah or Tefillin or Mezuzahs, even only one letter, and the Rambam says it's not only black and green, which are the worst colors, even in other colors, he's giving even in a gilded color. Wow, gold, not good. That's the halacha l'meishu m'sinai that it is possible. I lost my machine. That shalom baruch dynamis on Mendel's computer. Halacha vav. All right, shalosh. All right, so the second computer. Chabad.org is burning through computer. Shalosh oyer the same. There are three that is being recorded. That's a good thing, and the Zoom is working. Shalosh Oyro is saying there are three types of parchment. Guys, this is so important. One is called Gevil. Let's remember this. One is called Klaf, and one is called Duch Sustus. Rambam says, which one is which? Ketzad, Loikhen Oyro Behema, you take the hide of a domesticated animal or the hide of a non-domesticated animal, as long as we will see soon they are of a kosher species. We don't need for them to be geshachten, but they have to be from a type that we could shecht and eat. First thing is, you take their hide, umadvidan haser v'menatchil. First, take off the hair. Then, they would do what you do when you tan hides, which is a very non-clean melacha. Smells very bad, but that's what you got to do. G'doy l'may said, Abchia, he did this when he went ahead and he trapped a deer and he shechted it and he was ma'abedi. How do you tan? How do you make a hide, a leather? You want to take out all of the juice, so whatever you write in it should not get ruined from the moisture. So first, that's the Rambam said, you salt it. Every step makes it smell one worse than the other. You know, we're not allowed to daven with people that work in a tannery. They made their own minyan because they got used to their own stink as we get used to our own shmekas. Then, oh, Kevin found the picture. Then you put it into flour. Then you put it ba'avtzu chayotzeba. You put it in a gulmat. Or resin or other substances that causes the skin to contract. That's what we want. We want the skin to become hardened. Now that is called gevil. What's that gevil? Gevil means that other than you taking out the moisture, the entire hide is there. What do I mean by the entire hide? A hide can be cut into two. Not cut into two like this. Cut into two like this. You can slice a hide in middle of its thickness. Before you did that, that's called gevil. And the Rambam says on that, you write a sefer. I want to give you a heads up. The Rambam mentions it soon. Now, no one writes on gevil. Writing it on gevil is going to make a sefer Torah very heavy. So whenever you have old Sefer Torah, Vlad Sefer Torah, that I'm always terrified to pick it up over here, that's because it was written on Gevil. And the Maila of writing a Sefer Torah, not on Gevil, but on cloth, which is even according to many people's Mufchar, it's going to be much lighter and much prettier. But let's go. Let's go to the way what you need to do. But if you not only took off the skin, but you also divided it in the middle of its thickness, thank you. You made it into two, like the abdomen oisim, like people who process parchment do, because you get double the amount. Inflation, you're not paying more for the package. You know, they're just whatever you buy in one. Now you buy, now it's divided into two. Achi yishnei oidois. Now, just to know which one is going to be thicker, which one is going to be skinnier. The top one, the one that's where the hair used to be, is dak. The thicker one is going to be the one that was actually laying on the flesh. First, they would cut it. And then they would go through the same steps. The ibdu, oisam, the melach. Actually, dak works. No, it still works. I just have to press the button. The ibdu, oisam, the melach. The achakach, the kemach. The achakach, the avtuch, hayoitzaboy. Says the Rambam, Zeh hachelek shememul haseir nikra klaf. So the one that was on the outer part of the animal, that is what we call klaf, tefillin. And the one that was on the basar, duchsustus will see mezuzah. But you have to know which side to write it on. So the Rambam says like this, Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, sheyiu koisven sefer tveira ala gvil, just like we learned, dyoi is not ma'akev, it's only not other colors. So the gvil doesn't mean you cannot write it on cloth. We actually paskin that it's minamufcher to write it on cloth. You could write it on gvil, and if you write it on gvil, which part of it? We never write on the part of the hide that was laying actually on the flesh. So the gvil, there's only the whole thing is the gvil. Either the hair part or the flesh part. It has to be the hair part. The sheyiu koisven tefillin on cloth. Means when you split it into two, the upper one is cloth, but now you have two sides to the cloth. The one on which there was hair, even better, is the one that was inside. That's the cloth. That's the side that you write. The kois from the makam habasar, because it never touched the basar. Because it never touched the basar. And the mezuzah should be written on a duchsustus, or it means you can even write it on duchsustus, because today I spoke to Soifim. They also write mezuzahs on cloth, which is menamufcha. But if you write it on the sustus, then you cannot write it on the bottom, which was the place that was on the flesh. You never write on the part of the hide that was on the muscle. You got it. If you took klaf and you didn't write it in the inner part, which you should, you wrote it on the other side, or if you wrote it shekasa vagvil or bedach sustus on the place of the hide of now the parchment that was on the flesh, puzzle. Halacha number 9. I think I know what happened. The stama, once it's not working for an hour, it shuts off. Maybe we can change that. Oh, halacha, tes, many halachas, simplest computers. Afalpi, shekachi, halacha l'moshe v'sinai. Here again, normally, whenever you hear the words, guys, halacha l'moshe v'sinai, here, you can't change. You could change. Im kasav sefer Torah ala klaf kashet. What is that I'm saying? It's only good to the evidence. That's clearly. That's what it sounds like. V'linemer gevil elo l'may duch sustus. She'im kasav ala v'sefer pasul. Furthermore, the chenim kasav asamazuz ala klaf oyal gil kasher layomru alexuz ella lemitzvah. The Rambam, just to know, it's considered mitzvah, means it's ideal, and we don't pask in this way. Oh, we're still on over here, man. What about cook? Wow. All right. Chias amesim lemafreya halacha yud. Ein anudinam ein koysun svarim tefillin mezuzas al gaba or behemat tameya. You cannot use animals that are not kosher species, nor a bird that's not kosher species. Not nor a bird, right? Now, what did we learn before? Very interesting. In Allah above, what hide did the Rambam say you take? From a behema or from a chayim? If when you read Allah above, what would you think? You cannot write it on the worked oir of a bird. Here, he's saying you can't use it on the oir of an oif to mayim. Why? Because it's ideal not to use the hide of a bird. I'll tell you why. First of all, it's very weak. Number two, because wherever there was a feather, there's going to be a little hole. And even though we're going to learn soon about halachas, about holes in the parchment, and if the hole is so little that when you put ink on it, it doesn't go through the hole, it's still better not to use the oil of an oif. But you can use it. Like, this is like the video, but it's going to be fine.
He's saying it has to be on an animal.
It has to be on an animal, and a kosher animal, and not on fish. Very good, very good. As long as it's a kosher species. You can't take a kosher fish. Why? Theoretically, it would be good. You know why? Because why did they tan it? Because because there's a lot of juice in the skin. This process of tanning it takes all of it out. By fish, no matter how much you take out, there's more zuhama. There's more moisture. And that moisture, first of all, will erase the letters. And even prior to that, it has a bad odor. Epnei hazuhama, there's a foul secretion. She'ein hazuhama pesekas bi'ibud. No matter how much you tan it, it's still there. Halacha 11. Gevil shel sefer Torah, which is what you can write a sefer Torah on, the heavy sefer Torah. Klav shel tefillin. I shall say for Torah. See, the Rambam doesn't write mezuzah because the Rambam clearly writes by mezuzah that mitzvah men amuchers to write mezuzah on a duchsustus. Sarech la'abed oisem l'shma. Guys, there is no din of l'shma by a mezuzah. And there's a whole question why. This is only, whatever you will use for the sefer Torah or for the tefillin, it has to be tanned l'shma. And if you did it shaloi l'shma, it's possible. You know what happened? Just let me tell you what it means. It means whenever you put the hide, they put, like we mentioned, they put it in one substance and salt, and then they put it in flour. When they put it in there, you make a declaration that ani ma'abed oiros elu. Either you say lekedusha sefer Torah, or you say lekedusha tefillin. It would be nice if you can get a little clip, cave, of people doing that. But like everyone knows in a matzah bakery, right? L'shem mitzvah, matzah mitzvah. They would put it in whatever they're putting it in, and they would make that declaration that I just said. Fikach im ibdan hagoy. Psulin, even though we told the guy, La abed oirz el shema sefer el shema tefillin, why is it possible? Because of a rule. Why would he do it that way? You don't know what's in another person's mind. Sha'akuti, which is really a guy, al das atzma hu oisim. V'loy al das asoichet oisim. He doesn't do it because the guy who hired him, he's doing the job. He doesn't understand who cares what your kavan is. L'fikach kolam shetzorach maisel l'shmai. Anything that has to be done l'shmai, imaso ha goy puzzle. However, dafka, when the Rambam mentioned dafka sefer Torah and dafka tefillin, but the hide, the leather that's going to be used to write a mezuzah, ein atzricha ha'abada lishma, ein kana makim, but there's a big discussion as to why. Halacha 12, we have 5 more minutes. Halacha l'moshe misinai, guys, we're learning through the halacha l'moshe misinai. She'ein kois from sefer Torah, nor a mezuzah, what does the Rambam not mention? Tefillin, not men. Sefer Torah and mezuzah can only be written besirtut. Sirtut are those indented lines that you make on the parchment, and you write the letters hanging from the line. Abel tefillin don't need to have sirtut. Now, what will sirtut accomplish? It's going to make your writing a lot more organized. It's going to be a straight line. Why does tefillin not need sirtut? So that Rambam says because they are mechupim, because they are covered. Now, guys, we know that the mezuzah is also rolled up, but it's a lot easier to unroll the mezuzah. Any hediyot can unroll the mezuzah and re-roll the mezuzah. Tefillin, you have to be an expert. You have to know how to tie up the tefillin. So since it's easy to unroll it, or the sefer Torah that's always unrolled when you read it, you want the writing to be more organized. You can write it by heart. Everyone knows these portions, but the sefer Torah, you may not even write one letter from your memory. Why? Like, what do we learn in the Gemara? Because many words in the Torah, even if you know the whole Torah by heart, there's chaseders, there's yeseders, there are certain words that can be like sukkos, with avav, without avav, you won't know. Now, you don't have to look in another sefer Torah. You have to look in a chumash. You have to look. They look, and they say, you ever saw that? Bereshis, and they write bereshis. They look, bottom, they write bottom. You have to write it minachsav. Halacha 13, sefer Torah. Tefillin and mezuzahs that were written by Yanapikoides, Yisareifu, Fadbrenes. There's two reasons, guys. Number one, as we'll see in a moment, that when you write Hashem's holy name, you have to write the name with the right kavana. And if you didn't acknowledge, God forbid, the existence of God, so there is no kedusha imbued in the names of God. That's step number one. Step number two, since there's no kedusha anyways, there's another inyan. It's called Shaloi Lahaniach Shem L'Rashoim. Wow, that person wrote a Sefer Torah. That person is a Rasha. Now, if a person believes in God, then there's Kedusha. Then you can't burn it. Then you will see. Then you bury it. But since there's no Kedusha, And it was written by a poker Fabrenes, Kosvu Goy, or Yisrael Mumar means a Meshumad, or Moise the Yadanas, or Yeba the Isha, or Yikotan, Hare Elo Psulim. But since there is Kedusha Sashem, you're not allowed to burn it, so therefore, be Yigonezu, you have to entomb it, you have to bury it. Shenemaras, it says, now this Shenemaras is only regarding the Isha and the Katan, Ukshartam, Muksaftam, from where Chazal tell us that only those who are obligated to put on tefillin are those who are allowed to be the ones writing, or we believe them that they write, which means women who are not obligated in tefillin may not write. And Baruch Hashem, Atkan, we don't yet have a big problem of women writing Sifrei Torah. But if this will become a problem, then we'll have a real problem on our hands, because when you look at something that's written, you don't know who wrote it. And a woman, with all these new foreign movements to Judaism, that think that they're doing a big favor by telling women to do things that God told them they don't need to do, which is putting on tefillin, which we have to make a macha if they put on tefillin, more than a talis. Talis, we don't make a macha. That if you have a woman scribe, it's going to create chaos in the world. Nimsu b'yada pikoides, and you don't know who wrote it, you go nezu. Nimsu b'yad kuti, then what we say is it's kosher because we don't, a goy doesn't know how to write. The goy bought it or stole it from a yid, and therefore they are kosher. The ein loichem sfarim tefillin mezuzas from goyim, by paying more than their market value, because, you know, like kidnapping, if they're going to get a lot of money, then it's going to motivate them to steal more. Halacha 14. Sefer Torah Tehillim Mezuzos that were written al gabi oyde behem chayiv oyde tumeim, which is not valid. Oy al gabi oyde she'enam ne'ubadim, they were not properly tanned. Oy shekos the Torah Tehillim al oyde shleiv ben lishma or was shleiv lishma had a elu psulim. Now the Rambam wrote it before. The Rambam is emphasizing even b'diyaved. Halacha 15. Hakoysef Sefer Torah Tehillim Mezuzos. Here we go. Now we're speaking about not the kavanah of tanning the hide, but we're speaking about the specific kavanah that's needed. While the holy name of God is written, what's the kavanah that I'm writing it? L'shem, it's called L'shem, Kedushas Hashem, L'shem, Kedushas Hashem. And he wrote any one of God's holy names, Shaloi L'shman, that Sefer Torah is puzzle. Lefikach, Hakoysev is Hashem. While you're writing a holy name, no, by the way, the holy name doesn't only mean Yudke Bavke. I'll give you an example. Where do we have in the Torah the three names of God written one after the other? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem in the Shema. Afilu Melech Yisrael, who's going to greet you, don't respond to him because you have to have Kavanah. And even if you're writing two or three names, like we just mentioned, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, Hadeizem Mafsik B'neim U'meishiv. So, you know, it's, while I'm writing Hashem, you can't respond. But the king. So then, in between Hashem and Elokeinu, we'll say, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. Hatoivel. When you dip your pen inside the what's that called?
The
Kesses HaSoifer, thank you.
In the ink well.
Since when you write the first time, there might be excess ink going on the parchment, which you will erase, but you don't want to erase any part of God's name. Never begin writing God's name after the dipping into the ink well. L'yaskil me'ois HaShem. Avo maskil me'ois HaLofanov. What happens if you didn't write the entire name of God? So if you missed the entire, you skipped the whole name, you can hang it in between the lines. We're speaking about a Sefer Torah, where you don't have to write it on the right order. But if you can't write some of God's name in the line and some of God's name hanging in between the lines, given a picture, then it's possible. But Bashar HaTevis, all other words in the Torah, if a person skipped a word in the Sefer Torah, then you can squeeze it in. It doesn't have to be only in between the lines. It can be part in and part out. That it's allowed only in a Sefer Torah, clearly, but in a mezuzah or in a tefillin, you can't hang anything. If you skip the letter, the whole thing is not valid. You know why, Yaakov? Because what would you do? You would add it now. That you're writing it out of the order. Can't write it out of the order. Going to school, my master calls the curse of Acheres. Umutar lichtoev es Hashem al mokem hagered al mokem hamachik b'kulam. No, even by a sefer Torah mezuzas. That means if the parchment was used for something else and you erased something before, so you can write on it even God's holy name. It's not problematic. Unlike Hilchas documents that we're going to learn at the end of the Rambam, it's much more complex when a document was used once before. Halacha 17. You know, when you want to go to the restroom, so you have a parchment, so you want to be respectful. You can't turn it upside down. That's disrespectful. What should you do to respect it when you leave? Put something else on top of it. Or fold it into two. Right? That's to protect the writing. However, I just want to tell you, if you don't have a beged, then leaving it exposed is considered a bezoyin tvei. Then they turn it upside down. B'chal, when we leave, even learning, we don't leave with the sefer open. Put another sefer on top of it, close the book. Halacha 18, sefer 22 lemezuzah, sha'omar ha-sefer achas yotz metachas yod, after he sold it, after he gave it to the client, he says, upa loy kosafti haskadosh shubahem l'shman, I didn't write God's name, l'shem, kedushas Hashem. He's not believed to invalidate it, but he loses his salary, right? He forfeits his entire salary. Why is he not believed in manavshah? So he says, because we suspect that this person thought that when he's going to tell the client, I did not have kavanah l'shem kedushas Hashem, he's only going to lose the money for the for those names, the percent of askaras in that writing, and he wants to give the other person sat. If he would have known, he would lose all the money. He wouldn't have said it, but he didn't know that. And he only thinks, and therefore, if he says, we're not done l'shma, and everyone knows that whole thing is invalid, if he says it, then we believe it. Because he knew he's going to forfeit his salary. And people think that if the askaris are not written in the Shema, then it's still kosher. Halacha 19. The Rambam holds Ksav Ashuris is the Ksav in which the Torah was given to the Yidden. We're not going to go into right now the whole machlokes about that. It's written in Ksav Ashuris, what we call, you know, the writings that we have in our stuff. There was a time that Chazal permitted for Sfarim, meaning Sifrei Torah, to be written in the original Greek. Why? If you remember, because Greek was the only language that was perfectly translated in. But since Ukvad Mishki Varmino Oilam, it's forgotten. Gneshtavish Va'aveg, even if it was not completely forgotten, but it got confused, they put other characters into Yavani. So it's not a perfect translation. No letter should touch the other. You have to have white. Why does the oir makiv, the infinite light of God, has to surround every letter? If there's a letter that looks yudor vav, so you show it to a child. Now, if the child is very smart, which means he knows the meaning of the word, so he'll only know that it's vav because of the meaning of the word. If the child doesn't even know the forms of the letters, he's not qualified. You need to have a child that knows every letter, what it looks like. He doesn't understand the context. So he's not using context to clarify. Ask the child what that letter is. Lafikach, tzarek lizar, but tzuras oisius, that a yud should not look like a vav should not look like a yud, because you can confuse one with the other. A chaf, a beis, a chaf, a dalet to a reish to a dalet, the chen choch hayetze b'zeh, at she yorutz kol akredim, and people should read, they shouldn't get stuck. Ooh, what is it? And they only understand it from the context. Final halacha chaf, oin shoyonakum, if leather parchment has a hole, don't write on the hole. However, but if you write ink on a hole and this ink doesn't seep through it, it goes over it, that's okay. And that's why, even though whenever you pluck a feather out, there's a little lechala. That's why that we said, maybe, but lechatchila, don't do it. If you wrote already, and now there's a hole, it depends. If it was inside means not in the black. Like, for example, inside the hay, inside the white in the hay, inside the white in the mem. That's okay. However, what happens, niktiv biyarech, if the leg of a letter got perforated, let's say you have a vav, and there's a hole on the leg. So whatever's under the hole is discounted. Look at the proper letter. You have to have, first of all, it should be the size of a vav. Number two, you should not confuse it with a yod. If this at least is the size of a small letter of that type, and number two, it doesn't look like another letter, then it's good. Then it is possible. We got willing to be continued. Yeah. Much better than yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Rabbi.